Massey, and I'm here with Mike Morton, Senior Program Manager on the Visual Studio team. How's it going, Mike?
It's going great. Thanks,
Beth. Tell us a little bit about yourself. I know you did channel line video before.
But I did. Just real quick, been at Microsoft for a number of years.
Yep.
I was actually in the IT department, a couple of the IT departments here at Microsoft. I've been here 14 years, maybe 10 of that was in an IT department building applications for Microsoft.
Cool. So what do you do on the Visual Studio team?
So now I've been on the Visual Studio team 3 years or so. For the last 18 months, we've been working on Visual Studio 2010.
Cool.
And we have some great new development tools that make SharePoint development a lot easier and a lot more efficient. And to be honest, just a heck of a lot more fun.
So what are you going to show us today?
So in the previous video, it was kind of an overview, and we kind of went soup to nuts really fast.
Mm-hmm.
Today, a little shorter video where it's just like a drill in and point out some of the, I won't say more advanced, but maybe more advanced or more specific properties. There's a lot of interesting stuff you can do with some of the properties at the project level, at the project item level, and even down at the file level.
Okay.
And then we'll quickly do a quick Silverlight web part, kind of a Silverlight version of what we did in the overview video.
Okay.
And I'll use a couple of those more advanced properties to show you how that works and really show you some of the power down low.
Cool. Let's dive in then.
Awesome. Okay. So we'll start and we'll create a new project using Visual Studio 2010 Beta 2.
Okay.
I've been running that for a number of weeks and just loving it. We've seen these projects before. I'm going to go ahead and just start with an empty SharePoint project.
Okay.
And we'll just go ahead and, I love SharePoint Project 17. That's the name. I was about to type that name, but it was already there, so I didn't have to.
Got it. Okay.
Previously, we started with a workflow project, and we deployed that as a farm level solution. We didn't get to point out some of the sandbox solution stuff. So I'm going to go ahead and use the sandbox solution mode this time.
And to recap, what exactly is the difference between?
So farm solutions are deployed at the farm level. If you remember kind of your SharePoint 101 hierarchy, it's you have a farm, and then there's one or more web apps within a farm.
Okay.
Each web app can have one or more site collections.
Okay.
And each site collection can have one or more webs or sites.
Okay, gotcha.
And so if you are doing a farm solution, you deploy it at the farm, so you need to be a farm administrator to do that. And in a production environment, a developer or any individual usually isn't going to be that. Farm administrators are far and few between. They have to protect the whole farm.
So
can't let any of the animals die.
You give them a WSP and they would deploy.
Exactly,
it.
And they would go through the ringer and be tested and all that.
Okay.
Whereas a sandbox solution is deployed at the site collection level.
Okay.
So as long as you're the site collection admin,
okay,
you can deploy at the site collection level. And you could be insured by SharePoint. SharePoint puts you in a sandbox and limits what APIs you can use to keep you within that sandbox, as well as they regulate the amount of resources you can use, such as CPU or the I/O counts when you're going after SQL databases and stuff.
So
just to kind of keeps the farm safe,
yeah,
but lets the programmer or developer or the person that has site collection administrative access, that's a lot to say there, be productive.
So basically, if you write a web part and it crashes the site, it's not going to take down the whole farm.
Exactly. It might hose up site collection, but
yeah,
the farm will be safe.
Okay.
All right, so we'll go ahead and pick that. We'll use our Channel 9 site collection again. And so now we've got our empty projects.
Okay.
As always, we have our features in our package node. You'll notice there's not a feature in the features node yet because we haven't had any items added. So what I'm going to do
is... You just created a blank solution?
I did,
okay.
Blank solution.
Okay.
And what I'm going to do is I'm going to immediately add a second project to the solution.
Okay.
You know, I'm going to hold off on that. Let me do an overview of these more advanced properties and commands. And then we'll go and actually use them by doing that.
Okay.
Last time we pointed out that we have the deploy command, the package, and the retract command. We also have the add of the map folder. So we went through all that in the overview because that's kind of the top level stuff. But if we go down here, and I'm going to expand this a little bit, and you'll see at the project level we have some things. One is the active deployment configuration.
Okay.
So whenever I press F5, or when I come up here and right-click and do retract, certain steps are going to run. And the way that you can control as the developer what steps actually run in those conditions is if you go to the project properties, you'll see we have a SharePoint tab here.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll notice we have a couple of text boxes here, and I'll describe how these are used. Just note that this is the pre-deployment command and the post-deployment command. Very similar to like the pre- and post-build
okay.
steps.
Right.
Here's those two configurations that out of the box. We have the default configuration that does a full retraction and a full deployment. And then activates the features. We also have a no activation configuration, which does pretty much the same as the default, mm-hmm. but it doesn't activate the features at the end. And there's reasons that you might want to use that. And you get to choose which one is used by default. And if you click view, you can't edit these, but you can view the steps on the top right here. Mm-hmm. These are the steps in that order that are going to run when you press F5 or deploy.
So for any new project you create, default is
the default. Is the default. Aptly named. Nice. And then when you right-click and retract, these are the steps.
Okay.
You can change these or create your own, actually. You can't change the two built-in ones. But I can go here, and I can say I want to create a new one, and I want to create Mike's config. And maybe in Mike's config, all I want to do is run that pre-deployment command, mm-hmm. followed up by retract the previous solution and add the new solution. Maybe that's all I want.
Because you know you don't need to recycle.
I don't need to recycle. I don't have a post-deployment command. Maybe that's the case. And then down here, maybe all I want to do is retract. Again, I don't need to recycle. Maybe I just know that. There are times when you do and when you don't. By default, we always do, just in case.
Yeah.
So this can speed up your F5s and stuff like that.
Right.
If I'm using the pre or post command step, whatever I put in here, whatever script I put in here, or maybe I shell out to a PowerShell script where I have a bunch of script, I can do whatever I want there. And that's really handy, so you can customize what happens every time you press F5.
Cool.
What's really cool is we touched on the extensibility. This is another area of extensibility. We're going to see folks creating custom deployment steps, and you'll be able to have additional deployment steps if you download and install their extensions. So you'll
cool.
see people creating those as we go. So that's deployment configurations.
Mm-hmm.
You have full control on what steps are run when you do that, and you'll find. As you get deeper into SharePoint development, that's going to be really, really powerful.
Cool.
Some of the other properties that I want to point out are the assembly target location. In a SharePoint, in a sandbox solution, it's kind of not used. It's kind of disabled, so GAC versus bin doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But if I was to go down here and change this sandbox solution to say false, and now say yes to the warning that we tell you about, hey, be careful, you'll see that you can choose before where that assembly is deployed. Is it deployed in the GAC or in the web application or the bin?
Cool.
You can actually even say, you know, I don't want the assembly included in the package at all. Maybe your administrators don't allow you to put the assembly. They only allow you to put declarative type things like list definitions and list instances, but you can't put things that have actual code. This is a way that you could build a WSP with no assembly in it.
Okay.
And get it passed or through your administrator.
But you couldn't use anything in the assembly.
You couldn't, but there are times where you just want to put out some list definitions and list instances, and those don't require an assembly at all.
Gotcha.
You saw that I was able to change the sandbox solution. I'm going to go ahead and change that back to true.
Okay.
And again, we give you some warnings because we want to make sure that you understand when you're using sandbox, there's certain requirements, and when you're not, there's other types of requirements. So
mm-hmm.
we warn you each time. It's not something you're going to change a lot, usually, in a solution. Here's the site URL you picked originally on the project menu. You can change that at any time to
you
a different site.
You're sharing
definitely.
Your projects with other developers.
Definitely, you might, yep.
Okay.
And then you can also choose what the startup item is. So when I press F5, I can choose if there's an application page I want to do the startup item. I can choose that, and this will show you all of those. I don't have an item in my project yet.
Okay.
Let's go ahead and add an item, actually. I'm going to add what's known as a module. And you'll see here on my Add New Item dialog, there's a module. And this is typically used if I want to get a file or a set of files to be put up onto the content database.
Okay.
So by default, we give you a sample TXT file. And you'll see in the elements XML file, this is one of the cases where really the only thing that makes up this artifact is the elements XML file,
okay.
and then the actual files themselves.
I see.
We do some cool stuff here, such as if I rename the sample TXT file to sample 22, you'll notice over here, when I hit enter, we're going to go ahead and rename that. We're going to do that refactoring for you, so we keep those in sync. So that's pretty cool. As well as when you add a new file, or when I delete a file, I delete sample 22, you'll notice we clean that module up. Now you have an empty module,
cool.
so it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Okay, so a module is for deploying files?
Files to the content
database
versus to the SharePoint root or the disk, yeah.
Gotcha.
And then you can have those files get created for you, like ASPX
like
files.
Like XAML and that sort of stuff? Or like what?
Possibly. In fact, that's what we're going to do. So let's go ahead and add that second project now.
Okay.
I'm going to click here on the solution itself, and I'm going to say add existing project. I've already created a Silverlight project, which I have here on my desktop. And this is very similar to the task adder that we added in the overview, but it's going to be a Silverlight version of that.
Okay.
So we'll go ahead and add that project to this solution. And we'll see there we have that project. It has a typical Silverlight project makeup, which has the app.xaml as well as the main page.xaml.
Mm-hmm.
The main page.xaml, now no laughing here, I'm not a design expert.
Okay.
It looks a lot like that other one.
It's got a gradient.
It's got a gradient, exactly. That's, you know, I think that's kind of what you have to do when you add a Silverlight control. So we now have our Silverlight applications in this project, or in this solution technically.
Okay.
Let me point out, if I double click on the add task here, this is actually using the SharePoint client object model, which is a new object model. This is using the Silverlight version of the client object model. So this is not using the SharePoint server API,
okay,
which is cool, because if I wanted to, I could actually run this Silverlight control, not necessarily up on the SharePoint server in a web part. I could actually run it on my desktop, and because I'm using the client OM, I could do it in a way where I could talk to that SharePoint server.
Or it could be another website.
Or on another website,
right,
exactly.
Or another site,
yep,
somewhere.
So it's pretty cool. This client
OM
is really powerful. So there's some different references up here. You do the using on the Microsoft SharePoint client. And if we were to look in here, you would see those references that we have to the Silverlight client object model.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
So we've got our nice gradient background Silverlight control.
Okay.
And what we want to do is we just want the ZAP file from that Silverlight project to be included in our module and get deployed up into, I've created a document library called apps, APPS.
Okay.
Just kind of a document library I like to create right off the bat and kind of store my ZAP files in.
Okay.
You can put them wherever you want, but that's kind of what I prefer. So the way we're going to do that is we're going to take advantage, I'm going to minimize that, I'm going to go back to the module, and remember at the project level, pointed out some of those special SharePoint properties. Well, down at each project item, in this case the module, we have a number of other properties that are kind of specific. We have this deployment conflict resolution, which if you deploy something a second time and there's already maybe some fragments of that solution up on the server, we'll actually find those conflicts and then either resolve them automatically, or if you want us to prompt you can set that to prompt, or we won't do anything, we'll just ignore them and hope that it all works out. So you have full control over that. We set some default values for you, which is pretty typical.
Right.
Remember I mentioned that we do a lot for you, but we try not to do anything to you. this is the same here.
Okay.
We have smart defaults that you can modify to whatever fits your needs. We also have feature properties. So if there's properties that you want to add to the feature XML file, you can use this collection editor here, and you can add properties and give it a key and a value, and those will be added to the feature XML. You could do that by using the feature designer and using the manifest tab.
Oh, right.
But the beauty of all of these properties down here that are on the SharePoint project item level is that they move with that project item.
Okay.
So if I take that project item and put it into a different feature,
mm-hmm,
all of these special properties move with it.
Okay.
And that's really cool once you get into using it. So my default is always, if I can do it here at the project item level, that's where I do it, because then I have a lot more flexibility on using our feature designer.
Okay.
Pretty cool. Feature receiver, very similar. You can have the assembly and the class name of the feature receiver that you want to be associated with this. The other way to do that is if you know that you want it tied directly to a feature and not to the project item, is you can come up here and you can add an event receiver to any specific feature.
Oh, so feature receiver is like running something after the feature is installed?
Exactly,
okay,
when it's installed or when it's uninstalled.
Okay.
If I add an event receiver, you'll actually see that there's a number of methods you can use: the feature activated, feature deactivating, installed, uninstalled, and upgrading. Those are the different feature event receivers. So by doing it here at the feature level, that's going to be tied to that feature specifically. It's not going to move around with that item.
Cool.
And that's when I might. So I'm going to go ahead and actually we'll delete this feature event receiver. So we don't want that at the feature level. And if I added it down here and pointed at the assembly and class name directly, it would move with it. And that's
nice.
The reasons to use one versus another.
Okay.
Go back. We also have safe control entries. Those are most commonly used when you're doing a web part, a visual web part, or a non-visual web part. and that that allows that code to be run, and those get put into the web config file. Okay. We'll create one for you automatically.
Okay.
But there's often times when you add a web part. But there's other times that you might want to create one or create multiples, and that's when again you can use this editor here to create a different additional safe control entries.
Okay.
Lastly, and what I think is one of the most powerful things, is what we call the project output references. And that's what we want to use to tie this SharePoint package, which is just going to have a single module file in it, mm-hmm. and we're going to tie it to that Silverlight project and grab the output of that Silverlight project, which is a SAP file, and bring it in and deploy it as part of that module.
Cool.
The way we're going to do that is we're going to click on this ellipse here, and we'll add a new project output reference. And we're going to point it at the Silverlight task adder. This is going to show you all the projects in the solution.
Gotcha.
So we'll point it at our Silverlight project. And then we tell the project system, how exactly do you want to deploy that? And no deployment wouldn't work, because it wouldn't get packaged up and deployed. What we're going to do is we're going to choose element file. We're just going to package this XML file, this XAP file, mm-hmm. as an element file and then put it up in the content database.
Okay.
So I choose OK there. And what you would notice is if we went up here to the manifest, you'll actually see where we've already packaged up or put in the notation to package up this module 1 Silverlight ZAP. That's the ZAP file that's going to come from our Silverlight project. So going back to the module now, what we need to do is in the module elements XML file, mm-hmm. is we just need to add a file reference here so that we tell this module element here, that we're actually going to use that file and get it to be deployed.
Okay.
And to do that without a typo, I found the easiest way is to use my famous snippets, and we need to get rid of the old one, and just leaves us with that. So there we go. So all that is we added the URL of apps.
Which is the document library that you created?
It's the document library I created, so it's gonna put this file into that document library, and this is where it gets deployed. If you remember our feature receiver, that's where it physically got deployed.
Okay.
And then we're going to go ahead and put it into this document library and give it a logical URL also of that. All right.
Good.
So I'm going to deploy this. And just to recap, all we have is a one module. And in the elements, we're just going to deploy the ZAP file. And the way that ZAP file got in here was by adding that project reference on the module. And we pointed at the Silverlight adder. So just trying to show you, there's a lot of advanced properties down here that you're not going to need every mm-hmm. day. But as you get to those more advanced scenarios, you want to make sure that you know that there's a lot of stuff here that you can take advantage of.
Gotcha.
So I'm going to press F5. I'll click on the output window. We did this last time, and it just shows you that it not only built our project, it built the Silverlight project.
Right.
And if you were to read through that log, you'd see where it grabbed this app and it brought this app file. It's pretty cool, all the stuff that it did for us.
That's
there. Just by adding that simple project reference. All right, we're going to go to our site pages, and we're going to use that same page that we used before.
Okay.
So it didn't find our other, because I had retracted our other solution,
okay.
So the other web part that we used before is no longer there. So what we'll do is we'll just go here to the page, and we'll edit the page. And let's just go to that web part zone, and let's delete that web part. All right, so we'll clean up that error. And now what we'll do is we'll add a new web part. And what we're going to use is, you're not going to see our Silverlight application directly as a web part.
Okay.
What SharePoint has done is they've created a Silverlight web part that is just a generic host,
okay,
that you
container.
Can, a container, and then you point it to the ZAP file wherever it happens to be,
I
which
see.
In our case is in that apps document.
Okay.
So you'll find that in the media content, you'll find the Silverlight web part.
Okay.
That's just that generic container or host. And now it says, okay, where's the actual ZAP file that you want to host inside here? And we will use the magic site name there. That just says the current site, right, the tilde site. And then we'll go apps, because that's where we put it, is in the apps site document library. And then I happen to, that's a slash. And then it's silverlighttaskotter.xap. And if all goes well, which I'm sure it will, what you'll see is you'll see our
nice.
Silverlight application.
Okay.
And I'll click Stop Editing, and there we go. So it was that easy to tie all that together, and our project system handled all the heavy lifting of packaging up this app and everything. All you had to do was then point at that ZAP file.
So Visual Studio 2010 lets you create Silverlight web parts.
Yes.
Okay. Then you... you add a reference.
Silverlight applications technically.
Right. Silverlight applications. Right. Okay, so you create your own Silverlight application. Okay. And then you add the reference to the SharePoint client. Right, reference,
to the
assembly.
SharePoint client
object
model.
There's two of them?
Yep.
Okay. And then you write against
SharePoint. Write my code against the SharePoint client OM.
You got access to the tasks, all that stuff.
Okay. Exactly.
And then you need to create the module.
Exactly. We create a module. That's just like a deployment vehicle.
You tell the module
to get that zap
file. Suck in that zap file.
Yep.
Pretty much. It's almost like a deployment project how you would, let's say, a project output goes into a deployment project. So it's like a deployment project almost.
Right? It's very much like
it's
that.
Like a file deployment.
Yeah. And now I could have other things in that SharePoint project. I could have a workflow and an event receiver like we did last time.
Okay, right.
And also this module. This module is just a way to take that single file and get it up.
So would you recommend having the module then in, like, if you have, like we were talking before about having one deployment project with the features and the package, and would you recommend having module in there?
I'm going to hesitate recommending that because everyone's situation is going to be so unique. If folks like to deploy you definitely could.
Okay.
Some folks like to deploy all of their central kind of low-level stuff in one project.
Okay.
And then their higher level next, multiple kind of levels or architecture levels.
Okay, gotcha.
So let's make sure this works. Yeah, we'll try that out.
Can you set a breakpoint in the...
You can if you enable the Silverlight debugger, which I didn't. So the breakpoint won't hit here. So we could switch that though.
So that's the difference.
Yes.
Okay.
So we hook up the script debugger by default.
Okay.
You can go and tell us to use the Silverlight debugger.
Okay.
You can only use one or the other with a single with IE, so you have to pick.
Okay.
So in this case, we'll have our famous talk to Beth task, just like we had before, and we'll choose a date. Now, because it is Silverlight, watch the calendar there real close, because we did a little more Silverlight. Oh,
wow.
The blur effect.
Okay.
Again, it's Silverlight. You got to do something cool, right?
Okay.
Just in case you didn't see that, we'll do that again here. We'll do talk to Reza, my manager, who I probably should talk to more often. And there's that blur effect again. Oh, Silverlight at its best.
Okay.
And if we look, we did. We added our task. So we got that out there pretty darn easy. If we dig just a little deeper, remember we put that zap file out into that document library. Well, if I go here to all site content, you'll see there's that apps document library. And I just set it so it didn't show up in the list.
Okay.
I didn't have to use the apps document library. I could have just put it directly into the content database, not in a doc library, just with a URL.
Okay.
There's pros and cons. One of the cons of doing it this way is the user could come here and delete this zap file.
Yeah.
So, but it depends who you are and who you're deploying it for.
Okay.
There's no single way to do it.
Can you lock down the document library?
You could hide the document library.
Yeah.
If you're concerned about that, I probably wouldn't put it in a doc library. I might just put it in an apps directory in the content database.
Okay.
And then it wouldn't be nearly as visible.
Okay.
So I'm going to go ahead and end this. So let's actually do that debugging that you talked about.
Yeah.
If I go here to the properties, and I scroll down on the SharePoint tab, you'll notice enable the Silverlight debugger. So if I go ahead and check that, and then we'll go over to our XAML. Actually, we want to go to the code behind. We'll go double-click on the add task. And let's just go ahead and set a breakpoint. You'll see this is similar. We have to get that context. Remember how we got that the SharePoint context? Well, because we're using the client OM, we need to use the client context in this case. So we'll go ahead and set the breakpoint, and I'll press F5. And because I checked that box, we'll hook up the Silverlight debugger rather than the script debugger in this case. And we'll go back to our site pages. And you saw we deployed that, and that was quick.
Right.
The beauty, one of the beauties of Sandbox Solutions, remember, this is all running a Sandbox Solution, is... there is no app pool recycle that I have to do because it's all kind of independent in its own little sandbox. So we didn't have to wait for the recycle and the re-spin up. So it's just super quick. And we'll just do something simple here, do a test, and we'll click add task. And you'll see there's our Silverlight breakpoint.
So you just need to check
the box.
Okay,
isn't that awesome?
Easy.
And that's only because we can't hook up both debuggers at the same time.
Okay.
So, And then I can step through my Silverlight code. Isn't that awesome?
Awesome.
And the code looks very similar. You can see that it's not drastically different. I got the client context a little differently than I got the SP context, but these should all look familiar.
But this is all running in the context of...
So in this case, it is running inside of SharePoint.
Okay.
It doesn't necessarily have to. This could be running on my desktop, or this could be running on your desktop against a remote SharePoint site.
Right.
And that's the beauty is, as long as you get to this client context in an appropriate way. Now, you might not be able to use it this way because I'm using the URL. Yeah. Okay. So you might have to have a different way, but there are different ways that you can get this context.
Okay.
And then you can use this API just as is. I'm going to go ahead and press F5 so that this doesn't
turn on.
You
give me a lot of wild ideas now.
Isn't that awesome? And in fact, with Silverlight 3, I don't have this enabled. I am using Silverlight 3 here.
Yeah.
If I had enabled the offline usage, I'd be able to right-click here, and there'd be a second entry, and I could actually immediately download it to my client, and it could then run this application, not as a web part, but as a standalone Silverlight app on my desktop and communicate with my SharePoint, assuming I got that context correct.
The URL,
correct.
Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha. That's so weird. Okay, cool.
All right.
It's weird in a good way.
Last thing I wanted to show you.
I'm excited and confused.
That's great. That's a good combination. Last thing I want to show you is we talked about the project properties and the project commands. We talked about the SharePoint project item properties. And the last set of properties is at the actually each individual file inside of a SharePoint project item has a couple of real special properties that are real important. So I just want to point them out. And that is the deployment type and the deployment location. So in this case, this elements XML file, which is the only file that we have inside the module here, you'll notice its deployment type is an element manifest. Well, as you become more familiar with SharePoint and some of this lower level stuff, and if you've done SharePoint development before, you know these deployment types. They tie to either feature XML nodes, or XML nodes inside of the manifest, the package manifest. Mm-hmm. And these tie almost one-to-one exactly. And these are just different types of deployment artifacts or locations. Okay. And so we give you that full control. Remember, we pick the right one based on what the normal usage is, but you may need to tweak that.
Okay.
And when you do tweak that, you can not only tweak the deployment type, which influences is it packaged in the feature or in the manifest, the package manifest, and how is it packaged, but you can also adjust the SharePoint location. If you blow out the deployment location, you'll see the root portion.
Mm-hmm.
That is determined based on the deployment type, so you don't get to change that, but you'll notice the path is modifiable. So by default, we're going to put that into this location, SharePoint root, WAC template, features, feature name, and there you'll see we're using a token there. It gets filled in at package time, and then module. But if I wanted to put it in a foo subdirectory and underneath that a bar subdirectory,
okay.
I go like that, and now you'll notice my deployment location was updated.
That's cool.
Isn't that cool? And in fact, if you go over here to the features and open up the feature designer, you will see in the manifest that we're going to put that into foobar. So you have full control over that.
That's awesome.
By drilling down into those deep properties like that.
So it's really easy to just get started. Plus, if you are a seasoned SharePoint developer, you'll be familiar.
Or as you become one.
Or as you become one.
And only if you need to take advantage of this. Exactly.
There's a lot of flexibility.
A lot of flexibility.
I really can't get over that Silverlight thing. That's so awesome.
Isn't that cool? All
right. Well, Mike, thanks very much for showing us some really cool these tools. As more and more I learn about this, I'm getting more and more excited to make sure I download Visual Studio Beta 2 and SharePoint Beta 2.
Exactly.
And they'll work happily together.
They will.
And give us your feedback.
Please give us
your
feedback.
Play with Silverlight and all of this stuff and let us know. We'll have links to the forum and how to get at you.
That's great.
That way, right?
Excellent. Please, get at me. Let me know what you think. Good and bad.
All right. Well, I appreciate it.
Thanks
a lot.
Thanks, Beth. That was awesome.